The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Alrighty. There is a chance that my microphone was not working for the last couple of minutes for reasons. So I'm going to go ahead and repeat myself and welcome you guys. It is now 8:32 and I'm going to read the opening again because I think some of you guys may have missed it. Good evening and thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro. And I want to give special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. We want to extend our well wishes and empathy to those who are work sequestered or otherwise practicing social distancing during the COVID-19 pandemic. Please find vetted CDC guidelines and take them seriously. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I please encourage you guys to take this stuff seriously. I had to do some traveling this weekend for a family event that could not be moved. It was a funeral, and it was very difficult to get people to stick to guidelines. So I really got to encourage you guys to go along with this. Let me check and see if Joan can hear me. Yes, Joan can hear me now. Alrighty. Unrelated and on a happier note, happy St. Patrick's Day this Tuesday, the 17th. I know because of the previous topic, a lot of you will be staying at home. I just so happen to know, if this is useful to you guys, that the Dropkick Murphys had to cancel their St. Pat's Parade appearance in Boston for the first time in 24 years. And so they're doing a live stream, and you can see this on Facebook Live on their Facebook page or on YouTube and I think Instagram also. So if you need something to do, there's a good concert for you. Okay, back to The Walking Dead. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. Typically, we'll start our show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10, 1 being holy crap, this is awful, 10 being this is amazing, and we'll give you commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented to us. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 12. After tonight, there will be 4 episodes left in Season 10. Season 10 did the traditional 50-50 split, with 8 episodes that ran until November 24th, and then episodes 9 through 16 will keep running through April 12th, and that will end Season 10. Immediately following, literally immediately, the new third series, entitled The Walking Dead World Beyond, will also begin on Sunday, April 12th, for 10 episodes through June 14th. On AMC at 10 p.m. immediately after the Season 10 finale and every week thereafter. I don't know that for sure. Since Season 10 is wrapping up in the subsequent shows every week, it may go back to the 9 o'clock slot. I'll have to check on that for you. It hasn't been announced. Given that prior press indicated we'll only have 10 weeks of no Walking Dead shows this year, we speculate that Fear Season 6 would then pick up the following Sunday, June 21st, and do a split 8-8 season to August 9th, or else run through straight through to September 4th, followed by The Walking Dead Classic Season 11 on October 11th. This is just speculation for now. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314, anytime between 8:30 p.m. especially and 9 p.m. If you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not really your thing, join us in the live chat room where we'll be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. We usually post the links on our Facebook page and my personal page as well as usually my Twitter. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can still go to the link afterwards and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Go to the link, click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. Alrighty, tonight's episode is entitled Walk With Us. Usually when I get the list for the month, I tend to read off the rest of the season, and up till now, I had told y'all tonight was going to be the episode of What We Become, which, interestingly, shares a title with a Red Machete, episode 4, when we're doing the webisodes, which they seem to not be doing anymore, sadly. I don't know if this is bad data, but what seems to be, and we're going to talk about this during trivia, is that they've changed the order of the episodes very recently. And I can see why, because What We Become has a major plot device in it. Every week has some stuff, but this is major, major, major. And so I think they're scooting it towards the end of the season to make things ramp up. Tonight is going to be a ramp up too. We'll also talk about that in a hot minute. Okay. So the title is Walk With Us. The synopsis is short and sweet. With Negan's help, Alpha and the Whisperers attack Hilltop. And I'm going to check with Joan. No real comments for now, except she seems excited by the Dropkick Murphys thing on Tuesday. Fabulous stuff. I may be trying to catch that as well. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So check their Facebook page or YouTube. Additional synopses, as I usually do with you guys, we have expanded synopses to talk a little bit more about some stuff. So we have three. This one is from Fansided at UndeadWalking.com by Sarah Beth Pollock. She's one of the regulars for that source that writes about this show. And she says, the battle at Hilltop continues in this week's all-new episode of The Walking Dead. The Whisperers have pushed through the defenses, trapping the survivors and forcing them to fight or die. Meanwhile, Alpha and Negan get closer as the battle rages on. Things looked bleak at the end of last week's episode as the roads were blocked and the Hilltoppers were forced to take a stand to save their home. By nightfall, the Whisperers had launched bladders full of pine sap, which they ignited with flaming arrows. As fires raged, the survivors had to fight off the horde while also avoiding the flames. They have a clip, which is the opening scene of this week's episode. And they have a thing about the Talking Dead, but I will mention that further down, and because I have some things I need to tell you guys about that. So I'm going to skip this for the moment. And AMC subscribers, that's really all they have to say about that. That is new, so I'm going to skip to the next article. And this one is a synopsis, but also has some other stuff. It says, tonight, The Walking Dead is an all-time great episode. Don't miss it. And this is from Forbes.com. This is a source that we do use on occasion, but not on the regular, as the saying goes. So let me pull that up real quick. I'd do some foolishness because I have an ad blocker and Forbes got angry at me. Okay. Tonight, The Walking Dead is an all-time great episode. Don't miss it. By Paul Tassi, T-A-S-S-I, senior contributor in the games column. And Paul has to say, tonight's episode of The Walking Dead, Walk With Us, is yet another instance of me feeling the need to hype it up beforehand. I did this a couple times in Season 9, first for the pregnant Michonne flashback episode Scars, then for the very next one, too, the calm before the famous Heads on Pikes episode. Now, for the first time, I feel the need to do that again in Season 10. I won't spoil the episode here, despite the fact that it's already aired on AMC Premiere. Parenthetically, I really wish I would stop doing that. Well, what do you care? People are paying to see it in the privacy of their home. If you don't want to see it, don't look. Whatever. Paul. It's a Greg Nicotera-directed episode written by Eli Jornet and Nicole Morante-Matthews, who have done a few other Season 10 episodes between them. And we'll talk about those guys in the directors and writers section. The plot, from what we know from the trailers, is that the Hilltop Defense Force must survive the fiery battle and figure out how to regroup after the fact. Additionally, we see Negan hunting Lydia to earn more favor with Alpha. Again, I don't want to get into specifics here. Yes, there are deaths, multiple ones, and I will not say whether they are major or minor characters or heroes or villains, but all of them are handled expertly in their own ways. I also think we have a payoff for a particular arc that has been quite literally years in the making now, and I think many fans will view it as a turning point in the series for reasons that will be made clear soon enough. The Walking Dead is a mixed history when it comes to deaths and plot twists and shocking moments. We often have seen too many of these come and go that feel shocking for the sake of being shocking rather than something that actually works for the story. But in Walk With Us, all of these moments feel like they're being handled with care, a signature of the Angela Kang era of the show and something that is on full display tonight. There would be ways to botch this episode, and that's something I could see happening if this was season 7 or 8, but instead everything feels perfectly crafted and it gives me hope for the future of the series if we can continue on this path. Again, I know I'm being super vague here, but I really don't want any part of this spoiled for people, but given its early premiere airing, the answers are out there if you really want to find them. I will be posting my full thoughts on everything that unfolds tomorrow morning, as trust me, it's going to be a lot to process. Tune in seriously. Okay, Paul, I'm going to see if Joan has any commentary on that, and she seems not to. So we shall continue to the last synopsis article, and this one is from Newsweek. Let me pull that up real quick. Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 12, Spoilers Who Dies in Hilltop Battle, but they sometimes when these articles say spoilers and stuff, it isn't really exactly proper spoilers, because we don't like to do that on this show. But if I detect that there are genuine spoilers, I will abort the article. So this is by Christopher Grew, who is one of their main writers for this, for their column News Geek. And he says, The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 12 airs this Sunday, and spoilers suggest it may be one of the biggest shows of the year. As Hilltop presumably goes down in flames, who survives and who meets an unfortunate fate? We've got all the big details below, courtesy of the latest report from the Spoiling Dead fans. Okay, so I will have to go slowly through this, and if it seems inappropriate, I'm going to choke this. Okay, so this part is laying out the groups that split up during the battle so you can see who goes where. So as the hilltop crumbles, everyone splits to deal with the aftermath in various ways. The groups line up like this. A, Luke and Aaron. B, Daryl, Rosita, Jerry, and Nabila. C, Alden, Kelly, Adam, and Gamma. D, Eugene, Carol, Magna, and Yumiko, as well as E, Earl, and the children. Ezekiel intends to take the kids to safety, but he gets disoriented in the madness. Starting with Group C, Alden, Kelly, Adam, and Gamma make their way to safety. There's some discussion, and these are things that are spoilers, so I'm going to skip the remainder of this. So, skip, skip, skip. For the kids in Group E, Earl takes everyone, commentary, spoiler stuff. So the kids go somewhere. All right. Elsewhere in the episode is Group D, where Magna enters Hilltop amongst the Horde. Despite being reunited with Yumiko at long last, plot device, okay, skipping. There's some conversation with Carol and Eugene that I'm going to skip, and Group A comes into this, and you know, I may just jump ahead and bag the rest of this. It's full of things that we don't need to talk about yet. Jonah said nothing to add yet, but she's curious what Sam Hell I think they're throwing at us tonight, though. I'm going to tell you this because it's been leaked, not officially with permission leaked, but it's all over the place. There is a major death tonight, and I'm going to talk about this again in a hot second. It's 8:46. I'm going to jump ahead and get to the meat and potatoes. Talking Dead is not going to follow the show tonight because they issued a tweet literally this morning or late last night, one of the two, that basically said because of COVID-19, they're not going to do the show tonight. A lot of people have been yelling at Chris Hardwick because after the kerfluffle with his psycho ex-girlfriend, he was doing the show for several weeks with no studio audience. And they were suggesting that he could just go do that and have a minimum crew, and they don't even have to be near each other that much. Like, they could probably safely do the episode with no audience present and continue doing it. And the reason it's a big deal is because tonight is going to be a big fucking deal plot-wise, and people want to talk about it, and we're not going to get to. And I'm spoiling that so you know now. Major plot stuff, major character death, no way to talk about it. We can try to discuss on here if you want. We usually don't get a chance to discuss what is going on Talking Dead because we step down and let them do that. So anyway, I'll get back to those things in detail in a hot minute. It's 8:47, so let's continue. Tonight's episode was written by Nicole Morante Matthews and Eli Journay and directed by Greg Nicotero. All right, Nicole Morante Matthews was born in Seattle, Washington. She's been married to actor Jason Matthews. Known for Surviving Disaster 2009, Lost Tapes 2008, and Mega Shark versus Krakasar 2010, since 2011. So I guess she married him right after that last movie. Nicole has a BA in Broadcast Communications in 92 from Edward R. Murrow College of Communication at Washington State University in Pullman. Nicole's writing routinely explores the issues of race, class, and gender, and how each plays a role in society. Her first screenplay, Finding Bobby, was a finalist for the AMPAS Nicole Fellowship. It's AMPAS as an acronym, all caps, and then Nicole, NICHOLL Fellowship, Chesterfield Fellowship, and Fade In Awards in 98. In 2011, her NCIS episode, Freedom, became the most watched episode in series history, garnering more than 23 million viewers. Nicole is involved in community work through the Greater Los Angeles community, serving as volunteer and mentor at the Holly Grove Children's Home. And she also serves as a mentor and tutor to young screenwriters, inspiring and educating them about how to find their own voices and what it takes to become successful in the industry. She's a member of Sierra Club and of Move On, one of the largest political action groups in the United States. Nicole is a strong supporter of WSU and the Murrow College, routinely engaging with current students. She began her career as a TV news reporter. Nicole has a few miscellaneous crew credits dating back to 95. She has 7 writer's credits other than The Walking Dead dating back to 2001, including episodes of Law & Order Criminal Intent, NCIS, and Luke Cage. She has 7 producer's credits back to 2006, including episodes of Huff, The Nine, Kane, Law & Order Criminal Intent, NCIS, and The Walking Dead, Lines We Cross, as a co-executive producer, which was her first work at all within the franchise. Tonight is her second writer's credit for the franchise, the first being Season 10, Episode 2, We Are the End of the World. Double-check in the chat room. I think Joan had a comment. Oh, Joan's fussing about the bad news I have for you guys. Crap, double crap, major death, and no Talking Dead. Damn, yeah. I know Chris Hardwick is trying to be safe, and I don't know who made the call, but a lot of people are disappointed. So I don't know if they can work out a virtual thing where they can talk about stuff and have like a Zoom group chat where all the little chat heads are on the air, kind of like Hollywood Squares or something. All right, let's continue with the bios. It's 8:50. Let's see what we can squeeze in. Eli Journay. There is extremely little bio or profile data on Journay. Dartmouth Alumni Magazine, September 2010, class of 2002. Quote, on June 5th, just off the beach in Cape May, New Jersey, Brett Quimby presided over the marriage of Eli Journay to Becca Schneider, UVA class of 02. As newlyweds, Eli and Becca first danced to Tom Petty's Angel Dream, sung by Evan Ryder, class of 00. Eli later serenaded his wife to Jersey Girl by The Boss, while somehow also managing to dance with her at the same time. According to Facebook profile pics, they appear to have 2 young sons. They currently live in Los Angeles. Eli Journay is an American television writer and producer who serves as a writer of AMC's The Walking Dead. He He has 6 writer's credits besides tonight, back to 2005. Known for his writing work on Fox animated series Son of Zorn, 2016 and 17, FX series Wilfred, 2011 to 14, Starz series Blunt Talk, 2015, and comedy film Alternate Endings from 2008. He also has 7 producer's credits, including The Walking Dead. Other producer's credits back to 2009 include Wilfred, for which he's become showrunner, Blunt Talk, Son of Zorn, Huge in France, 2019, and there's one more thing, but I've accidentally erased it, so I'm not sure what that was. Sorry. he has been a co-executive producer for all of Walking Dead Season 10 so far. Journey inked a 2-year deal with AMC back in March. He recently developed 2 projects for the cable network, a character-driven sci-fi project with Rainn Wilson and a character-driven horror anthology. Over the last couple of years, Journey has transitioned from comedy to drama. He worked on a wrestling drama series which was in the works at Starz before segueing to development at AMC. Tonight is his second time writing for the Walking Dead franchise, the first being Season 10, Episode 5, What It Always Is. He is also slated to be co-writer of the Season 10 finale with Corey Reed and Jim Barnes, other Walking Dead alumni. Check and see what Joan had to comment. Nothing else? All right. So the last one, our director, the infamous Greg Nicotero, whose birthday I believe is today. I'm going to skip down and double check. Yes, his birthday is tonight, right now as we speak. So let's go through his profile. Greg has been involved with the Walking Dead universe since its inception. Nicotero is a Pittsburgh, PA native. He was briefly married in 1994 to first wife Julie Ray Engelsman, a costume designer from St. Louis who passed away in L.A. in 2016. He married a second wife, director Sherry Nicotero, in 2000. They have a son and daughter together. He began his career in his hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He is a renowned, gifted special effects and makeup wizard who learned his trade under the watchful eye of special effects splatter guru Tom Savini. While working on the 1985 Romero film Day of the Dead, he met Howard Berger, who would later become one of his partners at K&B FX Group, a special effects studio which had gone on to work on over 400 films and television projects. Nicotero and buddies Howard Berger and Robert Kurtzman started K&B FX Group in 88, and the group has provided eye-popping and jaw-dropping special effects for major Hollywood releases, including The Green Mile, 99, Vanilla Sky, 2001, Sin City, 2005, and Land of the Dead, 2005. It has won numerous awards, including an Emmy in 2001 for their work on the Sci-Fi Channel miniseries Dune. In 2006, they were given an Academy Award for Achievement in Makeup for The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. He later worked as an effects artist on the 2010 film Predators and created a classic Predator figure for the film. Greg has been working with The Walking Dead since 2010, doing special effects, directing, and producing the entire time. In addition to directing and special effects, Nicotero has played at least 4 named walkers in seasons 1, 3, and 6 of The Walking Dead, as well as directing episodes of 3 Walking Dead webisodes, Torn Apart 2011, Cold Storage 2012, and The Oath 2013. Nicotero has had several roles in the franchise. He has previously directed 29 episodes of The Walking Dead since 2010, the last one being Season 10, Episode 2, We Are the End of the World. Tonight will be his 30th time directing an episode in The Walking Dead franchise. He is also scheduled to direct the Season 10 finale, A Certain Doom. And with all of that talking, let's give them some big applause and thanks for working on the show. It's 8:55, so we'll probably get through some of the trivia and then I'll have to pause. All right, so trivia about tonight's episode, 143rd episode of The Walking Dead. This episode marks Melissa McBride's 100th appearance on the TV series, making her the 3rd person to achieve this mark after Andrew Lincoln and Norman Reedus. This episode's title is nearly identical to the title of the Season 3 episode, Walk With Me. This episode was originally the 13th episode of Season 10, before being swapped with What We Become. This makes it the 3rd time an episode order has been switched, the first being Between the Well and the Cell, and the second being Bury Me Here and The Other Side. Co-stars tonight, Annabelle Holloway as Gracie, Aaron's savior daughter, Anthony Azor as R.J. Grimes, Rick and Michonne's son, William Gregory Lee as Male Whisperer. Last week he was here and listed as Chanting Whisperer for chanting that creepy mantra when they're walking in the woods. He's a random character, quote, Whisperer 13, and last week was his first appearance. Uncredited characters. Quande Stewart as Quan, an ex-savior. Micah King as Ezra, Jerry Nabila's oldest son. Autumn Azul as Aaliyah, Jerry and Nabila's middle child, middle daughter. Unknown actor or actress, infant, as Miriam, Jerry and Nabila's infant daughter. Unknown as Adam Sutton, Mary Gamma's nephew. Whisperer Francis's abandoned baby raised by the Suttons, now a toddler. Following are coalition soldiers, John Prosney, Mason Baird, Mike Gamez, Shalane Demarest, Corey Gupton, Chris Fluharty, Chuck Hollywood, Gia, and Jimmy McCaffey. Mario Williams is an Alexandria resident, and this person's name I messed up last week. I had them listed as Corky Turvey, but it's Karen Turvey, as an Alexandria wrangler. And of interest, she and brother Tommy do a lot of work with horses for shows, including work with the horse that Rick was riding in downtown Atlanta in season one. Her brother Tommy was working with that animal. And he likes to say in real life, the horse is not dead. It met an unfortunate demise in season one. But the actor horse is alive and well on Tommy's ranch, and Karen and Tommy take care of him. Andrew Douglas is a Hilltop resident. Susan Boone is a Hilltop resident. And W.F. Bell is a Hilltop millwright. All right, it's 8:58. So we probably won't get too much further, but I'll scoot in and see what I can get. Trivia from last episode. It is, that's a stray sentence from last week, and I'm going to take that out. First and last appearance of Felix, which I'll discuss in depth. First and last appearance of Penny, likewise. The title of the episode, Morning Star, last week, refers to Daryl's use of a Morning Star to fight the Horde. The Greek name Lucifer, meaning Lightbringer, another name for the planet Venus, was also called Morningstar and is currently associated with Satan, despite there being lengthy theological debate about the accuracy of the application of these terms. This turns out to have nothing to do with the choice of episode title, but I thought it was interesting trivia. The names of Jerry and Nabila's children, Ezra, Aaliyah, and Miriam, are revealed. And I'll read this last one, and then we're going to pause. It's suggested that approximately half of Alpha's horde died in the cave in Squeeze. However, Alpha still has thousands of walkers under her control. And I'm going to pause here because we are about to go live, and I'll see you guys at commercial break number one. Thanks for joining us. Okay, guys, I'm actually going to start with a 6. Not sure where Joan is yet, but that is the first commercial break. It is 9:06. Commentary from Joan. Judith, Carl's sister for sure. Never where she should be, but always where she's needed. And I mentioned she has just killed her first human, and Eugene is about to be a dumbass for his precious radio. And Joan asked, was that Magna as a walker? She's also scored a 6, as I did. No, I think that was Magna learning the viscera trick. Partly, I guess, from how the Whisperers do. And I think that was her way to try to get back, was to come with the Horde. She did not look deceased because you look at her eyes, they weren't made up like a dead person. I think that was her disguising. And so we will see how all that's going to go. Alrighty, so let me go back to trivia while we have a hot second. Continuing. It is revealed that Stephanie's group is located in Charleston, West Virginia, not to be confused with Charlestown, which is up by Harper's Ferry at the top. Charleston is at the bottom. And just so you have perspective, it's not an hour from Washington. It's a good 6 by car. So that's what Eugene would have to do to get to her, unless the authors are being stupid. I don't know how he thinks he's going to make it 6 hours away to see her by himself, but we'll see. Anyhow, despite having once been a savior and having to earn the group's trust himself at one point, Alden is belligerently distrustful of Mary. However, this is shown to come from his grief and anger over losing Enid. Alden was also never committed in Negan, whereas Mary, Gamma, was one of Alpha's two closest advisors and even killed her own sister for Alpha, though later she regretted this choice. Austin Green is a Kingdom extra who was killed off in the episode Monsters and also in Some Guy by the Saviors. However, this extra is seen portraying a brand new character, a Coalition soldier on the front lines. The single soldier killed by the fire arrows was not an established character, named character, or an extra on the front lines, but one of the stunt coordinators selected for the dangerous act of being set ablaze. Additionally, this soldier is not mentioned last week in the In Memoriam segment on The Talking Dead. Deaths from last week: Felix, Hilltop person, alive and zombified. After being hanged by the Whisperers while out on patrol, a zombified Felix is found by the caravan of Hilltoppers heading towards Oceanside. Felix is then put down by either Daryl, Lydia, or Diane. Penny, Hilltop, alive and zombified. Penny and Felix are instructed by Yumiko to scout the nearby area and radio back as soon as they spot the Whisperers. Unfortunately, while scouting, the pair are captured and hanged by the Whisperers. Their reanimated corpses are discovered by the caravan Daryl is leading at a roadblock created by Negan and one unnamed Hilltop resident. All right, we are back, so I'm going to shut up, and I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, guys, it's 9:13. We are at break number two. I am going for 625 Jones at 6:05. Commentary. Joan is saying, you know, wondering what's going on up there with Magna and wondering where's Connie. I don't know that Magna and Connie both made it out together exactly, or they got separated or something. Who knows? She said the authors haven't been all that stupid so far this season. I mean, they're not writing for fear. You and I have talked about this before, and it's not the writers. It is that a lot of people, and I am included in this, kind of feel like the new showrunners for Fear for season 5 and 4, or at least some of 4, were not doing it any favors, more than the writers are having a problem. I was kind of wondering if that was a smart walker sniffing around Negan. They seem to be implying the beginning of that sort of stuff, and I'm not really sure. So anyway, we're at 6:25 and 6:05. I'm going to go and continue with the trivia here. We did the deaths, and now we are at goofs, errors, bloopers from last week. There's only one. Despite the various claims that Oceanside would be unable to assist Hilltop in time, several Oceanside extras can be visibly seen on the battlefield. One possible explanation for this is that there were Coalition soldiers from Oceanside already present at Hilltop when the situation developed, rather than people that responded to a call for help. And that's plausible. I don't know if they really thought that aspect through. Okay. Cast birthdays this week. Tonight, Greg Nicotero, producer, director of special effects, March 15th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Sonequa Martin-Green, who played Sasha, March 21st is her birthday, and she is from Russellville, Alabama. Let's give them both big, fat, happy birthday applause. Good job, guys. Thanks for all your work on the show. Featured music, we actually have some this week. That was a nice little find. The song that Eugene sings together with Stephanie over the radio is called When the Wild Wind Blows. It's a song by Iron Maiden. Unaccounted characters, we're going to skip Talking Dead. Okay. This week's episode of The Talking Dead was going to feature The Walking Dead alum and star of The Prodigal Son, Tom Payne, as well as two special guests. And I'm going to guess that one of them is the actor portraying the character that I'm alluding to tonight, the thing that I should not have heard. But we're not going to see it, which is part of the reason I'm giving you a tiny half spoiler. they tweeted on the 13th, quote, "We wanted to let you know that in light of everything that's happening, hashtag Talking Dead will be temporarily going dark this Sunday, March 15th. Take care of yourselves and each other. We'll be in touch soon." We have a Geico commercial, and if it goes to another commercial, yes, KFC. Okay, so we got time. Back half of season 10. Next Sunday, the 13th episode, episode 13, What We Become. Writer is Vivian C., and the director keeps being hidden. I'm going to tell you now, this is also a major plot device episode. I will tell you, I know what it is, but I'm going to tell you guys what it is next week when we talk. I'm not going to give it away too fast. Airing on March 22nd, episode 14, Look at the Flowers. Channing Powell is the writer. Daisy Mayer is the director. March 29th, Teen the Tower. Writers are Kevin Diebolt and Julia Ruckman. Director is Satro, April 5th. And 16, A Certain Doom, the season finale. Corey Reed, Jim Barnes, and Eli Jornet, one of tonight's writers, is working on this. Greg Nicotero is the director, and that is April 12th, followed by the premiere of World Beyond. And we are now back, so I'll see you guys at break number 3. Okay, it is 9:25, break number 3, and I'm going to 6:75, honestly. So let me go back and grab commentary while I'm waiting for Joan to score. We were having a little bit of a fuss at the end of the second break about fear. Yeah, we've talked about all that. We don't want to bring anybody down too much because we'll save fear talk for fear shows, but both seasons 4 and 5 for fear. The showrunners kind of changed the tone of the show in a way we really don't care for. So all I'm going to say, let's get back to other stuff. Jonah says, I'd cry too if I were a baby wrapped in a blanket in the Georgia summer. Yes. I mean, and you got to think, how often do babies get diaper rash and this and that? And you think about it, just a couple hundred years ago, you know, babies were dying left and right of stuff. We've only just in the last century come up with cures for so many of the things that used to be a bigger problem. We don't have access to all those cures anymore. You know, vaccinations for one. So I know I said I'm always so very torn about very young kids in this show. They need so many things you just don't have in an apocalypse. Or even if you do have them, they've gone through enough years now where they're starting to come away from scavenger culture and be more about, you know, old sort of colonial survival culture, you know, the old times, pre-technology. And, of course, Gamma just got ganked by Beta, but face off. And another Whisperer saw Beta and recognized him. That we have alluded to this for a long time. It's been a known plot point that they haven't pushed on, that Beta is some form of celebrity and can be recognized if his face mask were off. And somebody knew who he was, so Beta killed him. And he killed Gamma to try to make her a walker. And I don't remember who's the guy with the arrows that's with Connie and the baby. I don't remember the name of the character, but anyway, he has arrows and he took Gamma out, so at least she doesn't have to walk around with those guys, which yay for that. All right, 9:28, we have a tiny bit of time with commercials, so let me see if I can finish this off. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media include on Wednesday the 18th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, episode 85, ASMR Videos, part 2 of 2. That night we will discuss the history of ASMR, and controversies, resources, and closing comments. On Thursday the 19th, Travel Itch Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Find out why the Winston Churchill Museum is in Fulton County, Missouri, where when Renee Graham visits Travel Itch Radio at 8 p.m. Listen live on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio as Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts interview Renee about the world-class museum and other attractions in her mid-Missouri location. And 3:21, well, in the morning, 6 in the morning Eastern Time, no, 6 in the morning California time, 9 in the morning Eastern Time, it's Sports Talk with the Guys, Saturday morning extravaganza, March 21st, blah, blah, blah. All right, so there is all of that stuff. We still have time for some discussion, so I will pull up an article, and if we have time, we can get to it. And I'm going to paste that and have that up and waiting for one such time as we get back. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number four. Okay, it's 9:36. So I think we're at break number four. I'm actually willing to go to seven. The scoring and comments in between. The Walking Dead rewards code word is new world. Two words into one word. So Connie is not confirmed dead, but missing. Yes. Jonas, oh, for the love of all things good in this world, but somebody just kill Alpha already and then let Beta fall apart for a while before they kill him too. And what was that that Carol just found? I am pretty sure that looked a hell of a lot like Michonne's katana. So I think that may be leading up to other episode things later this season, because we know she's making an exit and we know she's been off with that Victor dude. I've scored seven. Joan is at a seven. And I have completed trivia and other stuff that I have for you guys. I was going to pull up the first article. This one's been a while, so this may be not that fresh now, but I want to go ahead and knock these off since I gathered them for you guys. It is 9:38. We're not back yet. We have a Toyota commercial. If we go to another commercial, I'll start reading this. You know, the Toyota commercial is going on for a while, so we'll see. Toyota, good place. Okay, we have another commercial with a funny cat. The Walking Dead mid-season 10 premieres launches over 40 weeks of the Walking Dead universe on TV. Okay, so maybe this will help me figure out when the hell all the shows go together. Cameron Bolomono at comicbook.com. This was written on February 16th, and he says, I'll have to pause in here. When The Walking Dead Season 10 returns to the mid-season premiere on February 23rd, it will launch over 40 weeks of Walking Dead programming airing on network AMC throughout the rest of 2020. The network will, for the first time, air 42 new episodes across three series from the Walking Dead universe, an eight-episode half-season of the main show's 10th season, the front half of its 11th season, the 16-episode sixth season of companion series Fear, and 10 episodes of the premiere of spinoff Walking Dead World Beyond, the first Walking Dead series announced to run for a predetermined stretch of episodes across two seasons. And that, by the way, is 20 total. So season one, 10 episodes. Season 2, 10 episodes. The Walking Dead airs its premiere squeeze Sunday, February 23rd, and runs uninterrupted through the premiere of its untitled season finale on April 12th. We have a title now. The Season 10 finale will be followed by the premiere episode of World Beyond, which will air its 10-episode season uninterrupted through June 14th. If Fear premieres its Season 6 opener after the World Beyond season finale on June 14th, its mid-season finale will air August 2nd. Should Fear have an abbreviated hiatus, as it did with Season 5, going off air for just 3 weeks in the summer, it would likely return August 23rd and run through the 18th of October. The Walking Dead would then air a Season 11 premiere that same night or at the latest October 25th. This is kind of messy to figure out. Okay, should Fear run without splitting in the half seasons, it would conclude September 22nd. Last year, Fear Season 5 wrapped on September 29th. That would make way for an earlier October 4th premiere date for The Walking Dead's 11th season, which is closer to the October 7th and 6th starts for Season 9 and Season 10, respectively. AMC has not yet announced the exact premiere dates of Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 or The Walking Dead Season 11. This is still true a month later. Also, I have posted an article on our Facebook page, which I hadn't noted, and I should tell you guys, call attention to. They have suspended filming on Fear because of the pandemic. So all of these dates may actually now newly be in question because they're not done filming everything that they talked about. So we shall see. Anyhow, quote, we're plotting a lot more ambition for this, and for us the high bar is, I think there are endless stories to be told in this universe, AMC chief Sarah Barnett previously told the LA Times. There is a huge unsnobby high taste threshold fandom for this show that tell us they want to hear more stories. What we won't do is make a weak version of The Walking Dead. Again, we won't imitate that. What we will do is look at a number of formats and a number of different creative forms with a number of new and existing writers. And we are back. So I'll see you guys at break number six. Hey guys, we are back. It's 9:50. I think we're at break number five or six, one of those. I'm at 725, Jones at 75. Let me grab whatever commentary we have from the last time. Also, Jonah, there's no more mention about what Carol just found. They haven't gone back to that yet. Jonah says they're leading up to Ezekiel's death too, and now he's missing as well, but they just found him. Earl looks at, did he get bit? Yes. And that whole thing, and Judith had to put him down. Obviously, she got to it, but they scared us for a minute. And I said, Judith is one of those scary kids who is really about 40. And Joan said, not like she really had a choice, given her parents and family. It was inevitable, really. Yep, Earl missed it, trying to put himself down. And Judith ended up having to do it. Poor kid. But so that's figured out now. Don't have too much more on the article I was just reading you guys. It's essentially finished. So I'm going to go ahead and pull that out of the kitty so that we don't duplicate it, because sometimes that's a thing when I don't do this. So, Joan, do you have anything else that you want to comment on as far as loose ends in tonight's plot line or whatever? The major thing that I heard about hasn't happened yet, and we still have not quite 10 minutes, so there's still room for a big thing, and, you know, we'll kind of see how that goes. I'm just buying time while I'm pulling the article up and moving it into the kitty of stuff not to repeat, but I don't really see much choice in pulling up a second article. I don't know that we're going to have time to get to it. So let me see if Joan has any further commentary. Not yet at the moment. We are still in commercials, but we've got about 8 minutes left. We need to figure out about that katana. Since this is more or less common knowledge out, we know, and I'm going to go ahead and spoil just to give you guys an opportunity that we didn't have with Rick's exit. Next week is Michonne's exit episode. So there are plot devices leading up to that. And it's not going to be tonight. The katana is just a harbinger of something, something, something. So we know that that's going on. That's a Walking Dead advertisement. And then we have that's not a trailer. That's just a regular commercial. Never mind. So there's not really too much that I have to discuss with you guys right now. I have a bunch of different articles. And a lot of this is old material, so I don't know that I really want to put you guys through that right now, necessarily. I am sort of fascinated by that giant chunk of info, trying to parse when all the episodes are coming. And some of these, they were written before last week when they tweeted this thing of going, Talking Dead is on hiatus, filming for Fears on hiatus. World Beyond is in the can. They have finished filming that in Richmond. But Fear has not completed their season. And I will tell you guys right now, do not be shocked if the whole season planned out for this year ends up being funky because of the pandemic and everything else. There are so many actors and so many shows in film, TV, in theater, and so forth that are, their whole life is on pause right now. And a lot of people that work with them and help them out, you know, crew, and support system, you know, people that feed them, people that bring supplies for shoots and all that stuff. Everybody's just sitting around waiting, and their lives are on hold. So it's really kind of hard to say. And I had it all kind of difficult to go through before all that mess, and this is going to be more so now. Chasing clients. All right, this is a trailer for something, so we should be back in a hot minute. I'm just really kind of buying a little bit of time until this happens. A Better Call Saul dispatches from elsewhere, Mondays 9, 8 Central. And another commercial. Oh, this is a commercial for World Beyond. Okay. And, you know, that's going to premiere April 12th, so we'll have a doubleheader. But I'm not going to talk too much about that right now because I think we're going to go back in a minute. I'm going to have to come up with a whole new format for this one. This is like People Surviving Later. Okay. We're back now. See you guys at break number 7 or the end. Okay, guys, I'm ending on 7.5 at 10:04. This is the end of this episode. We'll see what Joan has to say. She isn't really sure how to speculate about the scheduling thing we were talking about. And then we're laughing about Negan's comment, meat lovers, haha. Just when I thought my euphemism list was done for the original series, at least until a new group shows up. Damn. By the way, The Walking Dead, World Beyond, has brand new names for all the walkers. So I don't know if you ever had a chance to go through the document we were working on, but we should probably resurrect that because we're going to have more stuff to clean up. Okay, and this last scene was the spoiler that ran across my bow, and I didn't want to tell you guys. Yeah, I know there is a thing in the comics where Negan kills Alpha, but we all know that the main series doesn't always abide by the comics, so it's largely irrelevant to me. But he did it tonight, just at the end. I'm ending at 7.5. And I had said, I'm wondering if Carol put Negan up to all this, and it's part of what she was talking about with Eugene and what she's been hunting around looking for. And Joan says, apparently they were working together. Wonder if Negan was following his source path. I don't know. We're not even going to get into that because it's a comics thing. Joan is ending on 7.75, almost went to 8. If for no other reason than Alpha is finally dead. You know, I think Samantha Morton did an excellent job with Alpha. I just got kind of tired of the storyline. She's another villain, a little like Negan, where I have no freaking idea why people put up with leaders like that. And it can't be as simple as, oh, they get shit done. There has to be a way for good guys to get shit done. Anyhow, that's what we're ending on. And I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. They have an encore of Norman Reedus's Ride in the place of Talking Dead. So I guess we will see how they're going to go. I thought they had tonight in the can already, but they have a studio audience. So I'm hoping maybe they could maybe bump it to next weekend and do what they were going to do. Anyhow, I appreciate you guys coming and listening, if you're listening now or if you're listening after the fact. Either way, I'll take them. But Joan has one more comment for you guys, so hang on just a quick second. Made a copy and added notes and read to the copy and compiled her own list. She has it all to send. I'm definitely still interested. This is definitely something I still want to do. Once we do this work, then adding new names is not going to be so much drama. It's just that I grabbed them all and I had never done it before, so I got overwhelmed with it. She's also made a third document with comparisons to make it easier for me to go through. I tell you what, and don't send it to me just yet. Give me like a week. I just went to a funeral out of town and I'm really overloaded because I was supposed to be home last night and I got caught in a blizzard in the mountains in West Virginia up near Morgantown and no one knew it was coming. I was really unprepared, a little scared I was going to have a ending like The Shining for the moment there, but I got a hotel, everything's cool, but I'm a little discombobulated. I ran home, did some family stuff and then put the show together. So I really need a few minutes to kind of collect my feces and then we can work on that list, because I do think that will be kind of fun. So anyway, I appreciate all that work on it, Joan. You've always been a very big help every week, and you know I'm very glad for all that. We will see you guys next weekend. It will be episode 13, and that's What We Become. That's written by Vivian C. That is going to be Michonne's exit episode. So make sure you don't miss it. And anyway, I think that's about it. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. Appreciate it as always. And see you next Sunday night. I want to give thanks to everybody joining us tonight. Those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope you will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. See you guys next time, and good night.